welcome to the Abbot Lou Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
The greatness of our God. It's been my life to know that I'm far from most of all you are. The greatness of our God. Sing that again. No sky. No sky contains, no doubt restrains all you are. The greatness of our God. I spend my life to know that I'm far from close to all you are. The greatness of our God.
Amen. You are great, God, and greatly to be praised. God, we worship you in this house today, God. We welcome you. You are the air we breathe, God, and the very life to our being. God, and we praise you, and we set you on that throne most high. God, the throne you're seated on in our hearts, Father God. We lift you up. We take our eyes off of our circumstances, Father God. We take our eyes off of ourself, God. And we put our eyes on you, Father, the author and finisher of our faith. Thank you, God. Praise you today, God. Let everything we do glorify your awesome name today. Let our very lives bring you glory, God. As you're taking us from glory to glory, God, let your name be praised, for it's all about you, God. And thank you for that awesome love that you have towards us. Not that anything we do deserves it, God, but you are so good. You are so good, God. Praise your awesome name. Amen, 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 amen.
All right, well, welcome, church. How are we doing today? All right, we're open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 1. We're starting our series in Galatians, and it's the series is titled Living Set Free. That sounds pretty good, right? Sound good to anybody? Okay, so Galatians chapter 1, while you're turning there. All right, so we're in Galatians, right? Galatians chapter 1. This is a beautiful book. This book has a lot of historical context throughout world history, virtually changing world history. This book has brought lots of fresh revelation to the body of Christ, as well as rooted and grounded the body of Christ in understanding our new covenant life in Jesus. So we're just going to open up, we're going to read Galatians, and then we'll pray, and then we'll work on some of the background story of Galatians and jump into the core content and the part that I want to draw out, and I feel like God wants us to focus on today in just the first chapter. So chapter 1, verse 1, and just stay with me. If you're reading in your version, that's fine. This version is very close to the version that I have. This is the first edition New Living Translation, so there'll be a few little minor tweaks, but you'll get the picture. This letter is from Paul, an apostle. I was not appointed by any human group of people or any human authority, but by Jesus Christ himself and by God the Father who raised Jesus from the dead. All the brothers and sisters here, join me in sending this letter to the churches of Galatia. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God our Father planned, in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. All glory to God forever and ever. Amen. Verse 6, I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but is not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who are deliberately twisting or who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. Let God's curse fall on anyone, including us, if even an angel from heaven who preaches a different kind of good news than the one we preach to you. I say again that we have said before
If anyone preaches another good news than the one you welcomed, let that person be cursed. Obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. Dear brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that the gospel message I preach is not based on mere human reasoning. I received my message from no human source and no one taught me. Instead, I received it by direct revelation from Jesus Christ. You know what I was like when I followed the Jewish religion, how violently I persecuted God's church. I did my best to destroy it. I was far ahead of my fellow Jews in my zeal for the traditions of my ancestors. But even before I was born, God chose me and called me by His marvelous grace. Then it pleased Him to reveal His Son to me so that I would proclaim the good news about Jesus to the Gentiles. When this happened, I did not rush out to consult with any human being, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to consult with those who were apostles before I was. Instead, I went away to Arabia and later returned to the city of Damascus. Then, 3 years later, I went to Jerusalem to get to know Peter, and I stayed with him for 15 days. The only other apostle I met at the time was James, the Lord's brother. I declare before God that I am writing that I am writing to you is not a lie. After that visit, I went north to the province of Syria and Cilicia, and still the Christians in the churches in Judea didn't know me personally. All they knew was that people were saying, the one who used to persecute us is now preaching the very faith he tried to destroy, and they praise God because of me. Galatians chapter 1. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. God, thank you that there is only one gospel. There is only one way. There is only one truth and one God and one Lord, and it is you, Jesus. And we just exalt you today, and we just lift you up, and we pray that you will root us as believers in this one gospel, in this one good news, in this real truth that you came, you lived and you died for us, and you were raised on the third day to save our sins, and that we could live forever in peace and in harmony in your grace because of your mercy. So God, we lift you up. I pray for revelation to just be brought forth today by your Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we love you. We invite you to minister to us and to fill us up, to strengthen us, to encourage us. And God, let us be rooted on the rock, God, that we will not be like waves, reeds blown in the wind, or a ship without a rudder, God. We will be a church that has a pioneering spirit on your grace, but can never waver, God, because of our doctrine. It will be solid and firmly fitted in you, God. And so we just lift you up today, and we pray, God, that you will have your way today in our lives. We surrender our lives to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So before I open up this whole series and start to really talk about just the background of this story, I want to just lay a groundwork for you and I as we look at this book. That we're not looking for rules and regulations as we're in the new covenant, but rather we are looking for a relationship with the one true God. Right? We're looking for a relationship, not a rule. And Galatians really goes after this and helps us understand that our life is to be in relationship with God and not about rules and regulations and us earning it. But this too, that the title of our series is important because, you know, Galatians talks a lot about being set free and being set free from the law. But my desire is that we really understand how then to live as we're set free. So it's not just about being set free, it's about how we live when we're set free. You know, that's really important. Because sometimes we found, and even the Bible talks about this multiple times, the book of Romans really goes after this, talking about that when we start to get this revelation of grace and it feels as if freedom, which it is freedom from the bondage of sin, but then we freak out and we don't know how to live then. And sometimes people slip off into all kinds of immoral living or live however they want and life that is not productive in the kingdom, maybe fruitfulness. And well, I can do whatever I want, so I'll do nothing. Sometimes it's not a bad, it's just a bunch of nothing. Right? So the Galatians really teaches us very, very strongly on how to live set free. How to live set free. So Pastor Rick, Benjamin, and I have been working on this message for the last probably month. We've been picking away at it. And Pastor Rick's going to be teaching next week, and we really built the series together. So anyway, I'm really excited about what we're going to teach. Pastor Mark Drake will be here, and he'll teach in the middle of the series as well. He's teaching the fourth chapter of Galatians. So this is going to be a great series. Don't miss church. I believe that you're going to really understand how to live set free. And if you really grab just this series even, you can be set for life. I'm serious. I mean, this might seem extreme, but you can be set in your doctrine for life. If you can get the things that are taught in Galatians really, really firm, then you won't be blown around and you won't end up in some weird doctrinal cult thing or unproductive lifestyle. There's more to Christianity as far as like there's deeper things. It's where why there's a lot of other books. And I'm not saying don't read other books, but I'm saying if you could get this and understand how to live in new covenant grace and how to live set free and what Jesus did for you, and you get your doctrine really solid, you're not going to get blown around and all messed up in your life. Okay, so make it through this series. Make it through this series. You'll be glad you did. And one of the things I want to encourage you to do is read this book over and over again. Try to read it once a week if you can. It's not that long. Read it in multiple translations. I really recommend the Amplified Bible. You can get it downloaded online. Read the Amplified Bible. It breaks out all kinds of the Greek and gives you really cool in-depth understanding of what we're going to be teaching. You'll see a lot of words that we break out if you even read that version. But the New Living Translation, second edition, the New NIV translation, great translations of the Bible. And I also recommend the Amplified version. The other versions are great. You can dig through those too, but I really recommend you read those versions of the Bible when you're reading through Galatians. Okay. Whew. Come on now. It's getting warmed up here. This is a great book. You know, Paul starts out this letter, and the first five verses are very important. Paul is defending and laying this groundwork for the entire work of the whole book of Galatians. It says this letter is from Paul, an apostle. I was not appointed by any group of people or any human authority, but by Jesus Christ himself and by God the Father who raised Jesus from the dead. And all the brothers and sisters here join me in sending this letter to the churches of Galatia. Okay, so there's important things happening here is Paul is laying the groundwork and talking about him as an apostle and really the divine revelation that God gave him as an apostle. And he's defending himself and saying, hey, look, I am an authority. And God placed me as authority. And it wasn't by man, but it was by God himself. So because there was a large group of individuals called Judaizers that were coming in and they were teaching false doctrine. And they had come into the churches of Galatia, which Galatia was a Roman region in the north central part of Asia. This book was written around 50 AD, they think. And so Paul, and he says, not just Paul, but the brothers and sisters, okay, the people of authority, the people of note where Paul was writing from, he said, we're all sending you this letter telling you that these people that are teaching this false doctrine and bringing it in is messed up. And he's not just saying just my authority, but he was saying my authority. He says, Paul, my authority as an apostle given by God, and this revelation was given by God, but also all the other brothers and sisters in Christ that are with him are writing this letter, and they approve everything that he's going to teach in this. And he's saying basically this false doctrine that these other Judaizers are coming in and saying you must follow to be saved is whacked. Okay? I'm sure he said that. Like, what they're teaching is really messed up. Now, see, listen, there's some things in different churches that we can teach that aren't as important as the specific thing that Paul is going after right here to defend. Sometimes we see things differently as churches, and we have what some would call divisions. And they're really not necessarily divisions, as they're differences of opinion. All right, there's doctrines and traditions of man and of how we think we ought to do church that separates a lot of our churches. But the thing that where we decide we're going to fellowship in different places, but those are like disputable matters and maybe important doctrines. But we're talking about the core doctrine of who is Jesus. How are you saved, right? How do you get to heaven? And how do you live in Christ? How do you live in this relationship with God? This is the core of everything, who Jesus is to us. And this is what Paul is really going after when these Judaizers were coming in and they were really saying that all of the Christians needed to obey all or a large group of all of the traditions and laws that they used to observe in the Old Testament. And really, they specifically came after Paul and said, you know, Paul, he really didn't know what he was talking about. And his gospel is incomplete. And really, he was just teaching you guys a bunch of easy peasy lemon squeezy gospel stuff. So it'd be easy for you to like drink down and want to be a part of. And so they were saying, look, like Paul, basically, they're saying Paul is not an apostle. They're saying Paul watered down the gospel. We believe in Jesus, but it's Jesus and you have to do all this other stuff. It's the revelation of Jesus and all these other revelations, you know, that you got to add on to it or you're not going to be saved. So they tried to undermine the authority of Paul and the divinity of the divine content of his gospel, what he wrote, what he taught, and all the other brothers and sisters. We're talking Peter, James, John, all of the apostles. These guys all believed the same thing and taught the same thing. And Paul is saying, look, I really was sent by God. I didn't get my revelation from any person. I got it from God himself. And all the people that are with us are saying what these jokers are saying is messed up. That's what he's saying. And he's really coming down with a lot of authority right out of the gate. The way this book starts is very different from a lot of the other writings of Paul, which are all soft and ooey gooey and like, oh, I love you and you're so beautiful and you guys are awesome and you did awesome stuff and you're going to keep doing more awesome stuff and peace and grace and praise these beautiful eloquent prayers. These are actually common themes in communication in the culture of this time. And to not do that was a slight. So the fact, this is really important to see this, the fact that Paul, it's amazing, he goes right from saying, hey, look, I got authority from God, this is straight from God, and he goes right into this saying, hey, straight up, everybody that's with me, we all believe the same thing. You guys are getting off track in a serious way, talking about your salvation, talking about who Jesus is. And you can't go wrong here. This is so important that I am not going to praise you in any way. You're so messed up and you're so in danger of going off the rails here that I'm not going to waste any time. And in fact, I'm going to intentionally withhold that praise from you, because he wants to really make a very strong point. So he transitions right from there. He says, may God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace, which is great. Jesus gave his life for our sins. He just goes into preaching the gospel. Straight up. Jesus, he's going to lay his argument here. He says, first, I have authority. He lays his foundation. And then he goes right into saying, Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God the Father planned, in order to rescue us from the evil world which we live. All glory to God forever and ever. Amen. He preaches the gospel, says this is all it is. Faith in this. And he transitions right in. And he comes in with the hammer in verse 6. And he says, I am shocked. In other translations, it says astonished or marvel. I am freaking out. I can't believe it. He just can't believe it. He can't get his head wrapped around how they would do this. He goes, I marvel. I cannot even get my head wrapped around this. I'm so shocked and astonished that you are turning away so soon from God. This is serious. When we add things to the gospel, when we add rules and regulations to our faith, we are turning from the gospel. We are turning from Jesus. It's scary. It's real. It's serious. Paul just pulls no punches and he goes right in. He says, I am freaking out that you guys are turning away so soon from the God who called you. And this word call is keloa, right? And whatever, close enough. And this Greek word, it really means as a divine intervention to summon and especially use of God to call people to participate in his kingdom. Like when Jesus called disciples from their boats. He's like, come be a part of my kingdom. Look, when God personally calls you and draws you in, that is a radical encounter. Paul knew what he was talking about in Acts 9. We see Paul riding on his donkey to Damascus, and God smacks him off his horse and blinds him for 3 days. And says, I'm going to show this man how much he's going to suffer for the sake of my name. Right? And he gives Paul a vision, and he speaks to Paul, and he says, I am the real God. Why are you kicking against the goads or fighting against me? I am your God. It's only through me. And then he goes off and he gets... You know, Ananias heals him and he goes off into Arabia. He talks about this, but for 3 years, and he gets this revelation straight from Jesus. When you're called like that, just arrested and like brought in by the irresistible grace of God, how do you turn from this? This is what he's saying. Like when he's saying, the way God saved me and knocked me off my donkey, right?
So clever.
You're listening at least, right? How can you turn from that? I remember when I got saved, I remember months before I got saved, the Holy Spirit spoke this to me. I know it now. I didn't know it then. And I got this thought. If it's real and it's true, why wouldn't I do it? I mean, that's not from man. That's not from a 15-year-old boy's wisdom, intellect. That grew up in Nikiski, right? Let's be honest. Nikiski's great, but I'm not saying I was the smartest man at 15, 16 years old. And I had this impregnation of wisdom into my mind, and it just began to be a tape that played through my heart and mind all the time. And when my wife now shared Jesus with me, God spoke to me and he said, I am real. Audibly spoke to me. I am real. This is what you're looking for. I felt the presence of God touch my entire body. I mean, it was like every pore was on fire with the Holy Spirit. It's awesome. I'll never forget it. It was my road to Damascus experience. God was undeniable at that moment for me. And I had this tape playing through my head that I said, if it's real and it's true, then why would I not do it? And God said, I'm real and I'm just what you've been looking for. And I gave my heart to him right there. It was awesome. How can we turn from that simplicity of grace so easily to think we need some giant set of rules to live by? And all these additions to how now we ought to do all these things to be saved. This is what Paul was saying when he said, you were called like this too. He was there. He saw them get saved. He saw their lives just arrested by the grace of God and brought into the kingdom. And he goes, how can you forget that? Why do you think you got to add all these other things when you so simply were just saved and set free? Romans 10:4 says, for Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given. As a result, all who believe in him are made right with God. Just believe in him and you're made right with God. I felt it the moment I got saved, and God confirmed it by his presence. That's in the Bible. It says he confirms his election, his call in your life by his presence. Your real relationship with him, it's beautiful. You were called just like Paul was called, just like I was called, just like the Galatians were called. But all of us, if we don't keep our hearts and minds rooted in that there's only one true gospel in one way, and it's through the simplicity of what Christ did for us and our faith and belief in him, we can all get off track. We can all stumble and fall away. But each of us needs to know that we're rooted and that we're called and we're summoned by God, by his grace and by his presence, to be rooted in the simplicity of the relationship and sacrifice that was given to us through Jesus Christ. You know, for Paul, why he was so freaked out by this, you know, when he says, for the God who called you to himself through loving mercy of Christ, you're following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but is not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. Why he's so freaked out about this, you know, I want to bring it into some more modern context for us to get freaked out by. Okay? It's like, you know, in this example I've been thinking about, and Pastor Rick and I were talking about this, like the Berlin Wall. Okay, you know, the Berlin Wall, it was built in 1960s. Do we have that slide? Will it work? The first slide about the Berlin Wall? There we go. Look, in 61 it was built. It's post-World War II. After World War II, the east side of the Berlin Wall was all occupied by the Russians and the Soviet Union, and it was communist. And then the other side was occupied by the other allies, and it became a democracy, and there was freedom. You can see the side with democracy has graffiti, praise God. Look at how clean the other side is. That's the communist side. Because you paint on that, you get shot. For real, I'm not even kidding. You paint on that, they'll throw you in prison in a hole or just shoot you right on the spot. Okay, isn't that amazing? So this side, which will be the east side, is Germany, and then this side is the free country of Germany. I mean, this side is Russia, right? The Soviet Union, East Germany. This is West Germany. Okay, so the interesting thing about this is, you know, you never saw anyone escaping from West Germany into East Germany. It's never happened. 136 people lost their lives, at least known, shot by the Soviet government, or the communist government on East Germany, trying to escape, climbing over the wall. At least 136. Shot by their own people. See, the wall wasn't actually constructed to defend against, like, West Germany people coming in. It was constructed to keep everybody in, because it was so terrible. And they all wanted out. So they built a wall so they couldn't escape. Prison in your own country. That sounds great. So can you imagine? You're born and raised living in West Germany, free. Or been liberated from the Nazis or whatever. It doesn't matter. You're set free. You're there. And you're sitting up and you're drinking your coffee and you're thinking, well, I just got to get myself over there to East Germany, where all that oppression is. I miss it so much. I got to get over there and get myself in slavery and bondage. It'll be awesome. Nobody does this. This is crazy, except in religion. Because we don't know our God. We don't know our God. And this is why we get so bewildered and so off track, is because in our nature, we feel so wrong and bad about who we are and our own shame and our own misfortune or our own shortcomings, that we feel like we got to make up for it. We got to do something. And how can a God be that loving to love me when I've done so much wrong? I don't know, but he is that good, and he does love that much. And that's the God that we have to know and fall in love with and embrace and say, we serve a God who's a God of freedom, a God of liberty. And he doesn't care about all the things you've done. He knew that you'd do them. And he sent his son, planned from the beginning. He says he carried out the plan. It was a plan. The Father planned. God, our Father, planned in order to rescue us from this evil world. He planned to tear the wall down. He planned to set us free from the beginning. I know that's hard sometimes for all of us, for me too, to be able to say, really? There's nothing I have to do. You're really that good?
Yeah.
He's really that good. Every religion besides Christianity is works-based. Earn your salvation in some way. And each one says it's some measure of what you must do to be right with God, which we call righteousness. But only through Christ and the work of Christ, the one true God, there's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son, who's Jesus. Man, how lucky we are. Don't you feel lucky? You feel blessed?
We got a couple of their pictures here. The Berlin Wall, you know, when it was torn down, let's look at the contrast here. These guys are like, just let me out, man. I just want out. You know, here's another one. See the clean side of the wall? Look where they're going. Get me out. I want out. There's only one way. It only works one way. Some important people helped make the Berlin Wall. These are fun facts. Happen. You know, President Reagan. Right? Here's President Reagan. Chiseled 2/3 of the wall himself. Look at that. Couldn't have done it without his good friend, David Hasselhoff, the Knight Rider himself. There he is. He couldn't have got there if David wasn't singing the song that day. 1989, November 9th, I believe, 1989. okay, get off that. Ridiculous. Hasselhoff was there. You heard it here first. All right. Thank God for President Reagan. What an awesome man. Thank God for him. How cool is it that he went there and chiseled a piece off himself, right? And I'm not trying to make a parallel between President Reagan and Jesus Christ right now. But I'm gonna, okay? But I'm not. Our president went over and chiseled a piece off himself. You know how hard he worked on that? Our God came down and chiseled the whole wall down himself. All by himself. He became man. Humbled himself, Philippians 2, became just like a man so he could make a way for us. It's cool. It's a pretty cool God. He knows exactly who you are and how you suffered. Hebrews tells us that he's this high priest, that he knows our pain and suffering because he lived it. It's very cool. He came and said, I'm not delegating this to anybody else. Not letting an angel do this or anything else. He came down and just... literally, right in his hands. He gave himself. So beautiful. So great. That's what you and I get. That's what we have. I want to just draw another example. Can you imagine yourself, an African American human. Help me, Lord. An African American man or woman born as a free person in America. In the North. Free. Many of them. There was many, many free African Americans in the North. Can you imagine before the Civil War, when slavery really got to its height and they industrialized slavery, which was absolutely carnal and horrible. But could you imagine being a free person in the North, have a law degree, the individuals just like this, great heroes of the in American history? I wish I would remember the guy's name. But there's multiple people that were tremendous heroes. Could you imagine one of them, fully educated, got a law degree, free man, equal citizen, decides, well, this life, I think I just want to go to the South and go be a slave. Just to see what it's like. How could any person ever do that? How could you cross in your mind to desire that type of life in bondage? This is how radical it was for Paul, looking at the Galatians saying, how could you abandon what God did for you? You never were under the law. You were always just free. You're a bunch of Gentiles. You know the Gentiles of that time, the Hellenistic Gentiles of that time, looked at the Jews and the way they lived as like barbarians? Like they looked at the way they lived as like uncivilized,
like savages, like how Americans, when they came to America or they went to other countries and looked at the way they live, this is from that Western culture that was pervasive and worked its way around. They look at these people, they live differently, they don't live all, you know, tea and crumpets and whatever, you know, and they go, you're uncivilized. So for a Gentile to say, now I'm going to add all these laws and rules and all this stuff that is very uncivilized for me, one, and two, is all added on top of this thing that I already got arrested by the grace of God and saved in this beautiful encounter and filled with the Holy Spirit, and I speak in tongues and I see miracles happening. People are getting healed and set free. Let's go back to the law. Let's go back to slavery. This is why Paul is freaking out. Because to him, it was that radical, and it really was. And there's a lot of things going on, church, around us that are enticing us as Christians to move back to all kinds of rules and regulations added to our faith in Christ. And that is what legalism really is. Telling people they should go to church and they don't have to or whatever, that's not really truly legalism. Legalism is telling people to go back to the law. Okay, that might be unfruitful religious activity or whatever you want to call it. But listen, true legalism is we have to go back to the law, all the celebrations, all the feasts, right? All of the sacrifices. Verse 8, let God's curse fall on anyone, including us, even an angel from heaven or who preaches a different kind of angel from heaven who preaches a different kind of good news or the gospel than the one we preach to you. Paul first starts out with himself, all the people that he referenced in this book, and even angels, before he points a finger at them or those that are accusing Paul. And he says, look, even if we did this or angels from heaven did this, they should be cursed. He's not saying God is going to curse them. Important, you got to read this. But he's saying they ought to be. This is Paul's opinion. They ought to be cursed. It's that bad. They're defying the name of Jesus. They're turning people from the gospel and from the good news. Even they think they're in the good news, but they're perverting it in just a way where they could actually allow people to if they learned that, to not be saved? Because they weren't trusting in Jesus? That's dangerous stuff. He's saying, look, these people ought to be cursed. And he says, again, as we have said before, he brings it down more personal, a little bit closer to them. He says, if anyone preaches another good news, any other good news than the one you welcome, let that person be accursed. And that was like a shot across the bow of the ship of those Judaizers, okay? He's saying like, and those jokers too. If I did it or angels did it, we should all be cursed. If they did it, they should be cursed too. Curse those guys. Because there's no other gospel. It's so important that we have sound doctrine in our life, church. To live set free, this needs to be our starting place. To live set free, you and I have to accept the fact that there's nothing else added to the work that Jesus did. Nothing else. You don't have to do anything else. There's no other regulations. There's no other rules. There's nothing else that you have to do but trust in Jesus. And Jesus said that all of the law hangs on these two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbors yourself, right? All of the law of the prophets hang on these two things. The Bible says that he fulfilled the law. He didn't come to abolish it. He fulfilled it. And when he fulfilled it, it didn't take away any of the moral implications of the law. It simply made it possible. It made living holy and righteous possible through the work of Jesus, because it was not possible through the law. The law was set up to prove that God is good, that there is sin, and it drew a line between the two, and to prove that there's no way we could make atonement or a way for our own sin. And Jesus came, and because the law was there, was able to fulfill it and accomplish all of what it needed so that you and I could live forever and ever and ever on this one truth, that those who believe in the Son of God will be set free. They will live with God the Father in eternity forever. That's the good news. We can't stray from that. And he makes this really bold, very strong statement to say, if anybody starts teaching something else, let him be cursed. Okay, now don't get the mind or idea or something that if you accidentally teach something wrong, God's going to drop a curse on you. It's not saying that. He's not saying that. That's not New Covenant life. You don't got to worry about that. But listen, you do need to know that your faith is rooted in the most important thing and in the one and only thing that is Jesus. Him doing all of the work. Romans 3, verse 28 says this. So we are made right with God through faith. Say faith. And not by obeying the law. After all, is God the God of the Jews only? Isn't he also the God of the Gentiles? Of course he is. There is only one God, and he makes people right with himself only, say only, by faith. Whether they are Jews or Gentiles. Doesn't matter who you are, where you start, where you come from. Male, female, Jew, nor Greek, right? It only matters that you have faith in Jesus and in what he did. We do see Paul go on in verse 11. He says, my dear brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that the gospel message I preach is not based on mere human reasoning. I received my message from no human source, and no one taught me. Instead, I received it the direct revelation from Jesus Christ. Now look, there's a lot of other religions out there that have taught that they received revelations added to the gospel of Christ, Mormonism being one of them. That Joseph Smith, and I'm not going to teach a big thing about Mormonism, believed that he got some revelation from an angel and wrote it all down and added all these things that we must have. You know, the Baha'i faith is basically the same thing, almost identical, built on Gnostic beliefs. It's just almost exactly like Freemasonism. I mean, these religions are all built off the same thoughts and ideas. And they all say, hey, there was needed more revelation that you needed. And then we also see, you know, people, even in Christianity now, saying, man, we got to go back and we got to celebrate all these feasts, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Trumpets, and all these other ones. And they study all about them and learn all about them. And then they go practice them all the time and almost just basically come up short from us doing real animal sacrifices around here. And, you know, I think that it's okay to learn about all of the roots of history, and there's beautiful, cool things. God's cool. Way cool. He does stuff on perfect timing all the time, seasons, and it's nuts how God brings all this stuff into perfect timing all the time. And you can study all that and geek out about it all day long, and it'll glorify God, and you go, and then God, you did all that in Jesus. It's so awesome. But don't go any farther. Just glorify God. That's the whole point, is that we glorify him. And if you want to, like, celebrate, like, you know, Passover and do these things, just keep your head screwed on about it. God, you're good. Thank you that Jesus, you fulfilled all this. We don't have to do this, but as we're doing it, we're just learning about how awesome Jesus is. But you don't need to do those things. Don't slip back and think, well, we have to worship on Saturday or on this day or that day or do this, or you have to have one day of rest. You have to eat kosher foods. Or, look, guys, I'm telling you, this stuff is out there. I'm not saying it's wrong to do any of those things, but I'm just saying you don't have to. You're free. Don't build the Berlin Wall and then jump over the thing. Get over there. Silly. Right? Why would we do that? Don't be set free and leave an oppressive place and come to America as an African-American man or woman and then go set yourself up in a cotton gin. Don't do it. It's weird. It doesn't make any sense. Paul says, man, I am sent by God. The message I sent that God revealed to me is the true and one and only message. And all these other things that they're trying to add on and them trying to undermine me as an apostle is not the truth. And it is not the way. He goes on and on to defend all that. Pastor Rick's going to talk more about that stuff next week. But I just want to read this. I want to read my personal favorite passage in the Bible that is the gospel preached directly to us. Can we do that? And it's Ephesians chapter 2. This is just my personal favorite. It's so direct and so fantastic. I'll just read it off here so we read the same one. Okay, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the power of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passions and desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very own nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. Thank you, Jesus. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus, so God can point to us, in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believed. You got to believe, right? That's it. You got to believe in Jesus and that he is God and he saved you. And you can't take credit for it. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done. It's not all the things we can add to it, right? So none of us can boast about it, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things he planned for us long ago. Live set free. Live set free, right? There's no other way. There's no other way. You know, I want to just close my message by giving an opportunity for any of you here that want to know Jesus. You might have thought many times, like, or been here quite a few times, and you've heard messages that's preached about Christ and preached about the truth, and you're like, man, I almost went down, but today is your day. I really want to encourage you to make today the day that you choose the one way, the one true God. So simple. It says, by grace you've been saved, by your faith. You believe in Jesus. Confess him. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? And the wages of our sin is death. The payment for our sin, which we could not pay ourselves, is eternal separation from God. And so I want to just encourage you that you would consider trusting in Jesus, trusting in the God of love who died for you, who came for you and died for you and was raised for you and lives for you and has a perfect plan. He made you his masterpiece, it said right there, to do great things he planned in advance for you to do. Would you consider that today, that you might make Jesus the Lord of your life? We all just bow our heads and close our eyes. And just on the count of three, when I count to three, I want to encourage you to be so bold as to raise your hand and say, yes, that's me. I want to accept Jesus as my Lord. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he died for me and I want a relationship with him. One. You truly know there's no other way. God, I'm tired of living the way I've been living. It's not working out. I'm empty, I'm lonely, I'm lost. I know I'm lost, and I need you, Jesus, too. Jesus, I want to choose you. I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be my Savior. I take my simple faith with nothing else, and I put it on you, and I trust in you. Three. Anybody here, raise your hand. Be brave. Raise your hand. Praise God. Anybody else? I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. Jesus, I choose you. Be bold. Lift your hand. Praise God. Yes. Anybody? anybody else. Jesus, I want to make you my Lord. Yes, amen. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Anyone else? Jesus, you are my God. Awesome. Church, will you stand with me? Those of you that raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to do something really bold. I want to pray with you. I want to get you a Bible. I want to get you started right. If you'd be so bold as to just come out of your seat and meet me here in the front, could you do that right now? And we could pray together. Are you that bold that you could come down? Praise God. Amen. Good job. I'm proud of you. Anybody else? You want to give your heart to Jesus? Come on, let's pray together. Awesome. Awesome. Anybody else? You raised your hand? You want to come down to the front? Come on, I know there's at least five or six of you out there. There's another one. Praise God. Good to see you. Awesome. Be bold. Be brave. Awesome. Jesus, I want you to be my God. You can pray in your seat. But we want to help you grow. We want to help you grow right now. And so if that's you and you really want to come forward and you're really serious about it, I really want to encourage you to step forward. Last chance. Last chance. No, there's three more of you out there. It's okay. I still love you. It's okay. Praise the Lord. Awesome. Praise God, Daniel. God bless you, brother. I love you, man. Awesome. Okay, wherever you're at, if you want to give your heart to Jesus, let's just pray together. I'll lead you in a prayer. And if you want to pray out loud, the most important thing is you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, okay? Believe in your heart. Jesus really did die for me. I really do love him. Are we ready? Lord Jesus. Can everybody in the church pray together? Lord Jesus, I love you today. I believe you are my God. And you died for my sin. I accept you today. I believe in you today, Jesus. I confess my sin to you. And I receive your forgiveness. I make you the Lord of my life. Holy Spirit, come into my heart. Fill me and anoint me for the good work you prepared in advance for me to do. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hey, I just want to pray for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. If you wanted to receive the Holy Spirit, if you haven't done that, will you just lift your hand in the air? You want to receive the Holy Spirit? Anybody here? Of course, all of you. I want just believers to lay hands on these Christians. Anybody want to receive the Holy Spirit? Amen. We got hands raised. Somebody lay hands on them. If you see somebody with their hands lifted up, come on, be bold. Anybody want to receive the Holy Spirit? There we go. There's one in the back. Put your hands on them. Let's pray for them. And let's lay hands on all these folks. We're going to believe the Holy Spirit's going to fill you. Right here, you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Come on, we lay hands on her right there. We're going to believe, and the Bible says, with the laying on of hands, the Holy Spirit will indwell and fill you with power. Okay. All right. So let's stay focused, church, right? Focus. It's important. Okay, let's pray. We ready to pray? Hey, Frank. Will you lay hands on Daniel, please? We're going to ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're asking that you'd baptize these men and women in your Holy Spirit. You'd fill them to overflowing. God, and they'll just experience the evidence of speaking in tongues. God, they'll experience the evidence of the baptism, the full indwelling of your Spirit. God, they'll be able to do miracles, raise the dead, heal the sick, gifts of wisdom, of leadership. Impart to them the spiritual gifts you intended for them to do a mighty work right now, today. God, they'll start on that great work that you had for them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen. Church, I love you. If you want to receive prayer for anything, please come down. I encourage you to be here early next week. Get your Bibles out. Read the book of Galatians and get studied up and ready to go. Pastor Rick's going to come after you with teaching fury. I promise. God bless you. I love you. Have a fantastic week.